to what we've just observed, to reflect on this act in which one enters into the water and is immersed, and in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then emerges once again to a charge to walk worthy of their calling in Christ. The question is, what is the meaning of this? What is the significance of this? And just for a few minutes this morning, I want to for us to consider this. The ordinance of baptism can be understood at several levels. There are several things that are signified in this action that we have just observed, and I want to touch this morning on these things, and I want to do so for our instruction. Probably most of what I will say this morning will not be new to you, and so it serves as a reminder. And if you're here this morning as one who has walked through the waters of baptism, you yourself have been baptized, then it serves as a reminder to us of the significance of what we have testified to in our own baptism. So I want to point out four aspects of the significance of baptism. And the first of these is the aspect of identification. That baptism signifies the believer's identification with Christ. Baptism is the believer's public confession of faith in Jesus Christ and of their identification with Him. Now, there are two key points here in this explanation. First of all, the idea of the believer. It is the believer who is baptized. And secondly, this baptism is a public confession. From the New Testament, it is clear that it is the believer in Jesus Christ who is baptized. It is the one who has faith in Jesus who passes through the waters of baptism. Even Jesus' command here in Matthew chapter 28 would indicate that it is the disciple, it is the learner, it is the one who has come to hear the message of Christ and has responded in belief to that message that is to be baptized. As we continue through the New Testament in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, as Peter is preaching there on that momentous event, it was those who were struck by his preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ that the apostle spoke to and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." These individuals were struck with the message. Their eyes were opened to the truth of who this Jesus of Nazareth that they had either seen crucified or even participated in his crucifixion. They see that this indeed is the Son of God. And Peter's command to them is that they should be baptized. It was the believing Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. It was the believing Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. It was the believing Philippian jailer and his household in Acts 16 who were baptized. It is the believer who is baptized, and their baptism is a public confession, a witness to the world of their faith in Christ. It is a testimony before the believing community and the watching world that they have identified with Jesus Christ. Now, for those of us in the United States, such an event is oftentimes a thing of celebration. But in other parts of the world, especially the Jewish world and the Islamic world, it is a sober event, because that moment, that act of going through the waters of baptism and thereby identifying with Jesus Christ results in a complete cutting off of that individual from their family, from their former life, and oftentimes it puts them under the threat of death. It is a singular thing. It is a significant thing. It is a weighty thing, this identification with Christ. And so at the most basic level, the person who is baptized is bearing testimony to the fact of their faith in Jesus Christ, of their identification with Christ. But at another level, baptism signifies the believer's placement into Christ. If you want to turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle is explaining the nature of the body of Christ, that it is one body comprised of many members, different members with different roles and different functions to contribute to the life of the body. And as he begins this explanation, he says in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members," excuse me, "and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." The person who believes in Christ is, at the moment of their faith in Christ, placed into Christ. They are joined in a vital union with Christ. The Apostle Paul uses that language frequently to describe the nature of the believer's relationship with Christ. He speaks of those who are in Christ. They've been placed into Christ. This joining with Christ, this placement into Christ, is described here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as a baptism into Christ. The act of baptism symbolizes, it visualizes this mystical spiritual reality of our being placed into Christ, being joined vitally with Christ. It is a visible and dramatic portrayal of this transaction. The one who is baptized by this act is demonstrating that they have been placed into Christ so that all that is Christ is theirs. They are placed into Christ so that the righteousness of Christ, His perfect trust and obedience, is their perfect trust and obedience. They're placed into Christ so that the freedom that Christ has secured, the victory over sin and death and the grave that Christ has secured, is their victory. That the way opened to righteousness and holiness that Christ has accomplished, that He has secured by the cross, is their open door to righteousness and holiness. The person who is baptized is demonstrating this vital union with Christ, a vital union in which Christ becomes their life. Thirdly, at an even deeper level, baptism signifies the believer's deliverance through judgment. The believer's deliverance through judgment. If you want to turn over now to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, we read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which He went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to Him." If we think back to the book of Genesis, chapter 7 and 8 and 9, and we think of the flood was brought on the earth as a judgment from God. It was God's judgment on man's sinfulness in his complete abandonment to unrighteousness. The waters of the flood were the waters of God's judgment. And Noah and his family were carried through those waters of judgment. They entered into the waters and emerged from the waters on the other side of that judgment. And they were delivered through the floodwaters of God's judgment by the ark. And Peter is saying here that baptism, what baptism represents, corresponds to the experience of Noah in the flood. As it were, the waters of baptism represent to us the flood of God's judgment. And we know that every one of us are born into this world under the judgment of God, under the condemnation of God, under the wrath of God. The waters of baptism represent the flood of God's judgment. And our immersion in those waters and our emergence from those waters depicts our deliverance through that judgment, from that judgment. And what is the means of our deliverance? How is it that we are delivered through the waters of God's judgment? It is by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ark. Jesus Christ is the ark by which we are carried through and delivered from the judgment of God on sinful men. Baptism signifies the profound theological reality that by faith in Jesus Christ, by being in Christ, by Christ, we are delivered from God's wrathful judgment on sinful man. Using another Old Testament picture of deliverance, just as the Israelites passed through the waters of the Red Sea, waters that consumed the Egyptians, so the believer, by faith in Jesus Christ, passes and is delivered from the judgment of God. And that deliverance, that path by which we pass through and are delivered, is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Baptism pictures that deliverance, which is Jesus Christ. A fourth truth that is pictured in baptism is the truth that baptism signifies the believer's death to sin and life to God. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 14. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. To believe in Jesus Christ is to participate in His death and resurrection. And strictly speaking, we're not talking merely of His physical death and bodily resurrection, although we are. But we are talking specifically of the spiritual realities that are tied up with His physical death and His bodily resurrection. Namely, His death to sin and His resurrection to life to God. In this passage, the apostle is dealing with the matter of the believer's relationship to sin and the question, should we continue to sin in order that grace might abound? And his response is an emphatic no. Why? Because, he says, we are those who have died to sin. And he goes on to explain that our identification with Christ is a participation in his death to sin and his resurrection to life to God. When Jesus died, he died to sin. That is, he died to the realm of sin. He died to the sphere in which sin operates. And thus, he died to the rule of sin, the rule of sin and death that characterizes this present evil age. When Jesus died, he died to this age. And when he rose to the age to come. He rose to the realm of life, to the sphere where life reigns, the sphere of life in relationship to God, the realm in which righteousness reigns. He rose to life to God. The one who believes in Jesus participates with Jesus in this death to sin and life to God. As I've already said, as Paul says there in verse 2, we who believe are those who have died to sin. That is your identity. If you are here this morning in Christ, then you are one who has died to sin. We are those who participate with Jesus in his death to sin. And as Paul says in verse 5, if we participate in his death, we also participate in his resurrection, in his life to God. Paul spells out the implications of that in verses 11 through 14, that we are therefore no longer to give ourselves to sin. We're not to live in the practice of sin. We're not to pursue sin, but rather we are to give ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. Baptism symbolizes this participation with Jesus Christ in his death to sin and his life to God. In baptism, we demonstrate the fact that we are buried with him, signifying our death to sin. And we rise with him, signifying our emergence into a newness of life, into the newness of the life of the age to come, of life in relationship to God, a life that is characterized by righteousness and holiness. As we exit the waters of baptism, as it were, we are declaring that from this day forward, we are renouncing sin. We are putting away the old man with his passions and sinful desires. And from this day forward, we are putting on the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. From this day forward, we are devoted to living in newness of life, living life to God. Now, this involves us in a struggle, because although we participate with Christ in his death to sin, the battle with the flesh, the battle with sin goes on. Although we are alive to God in Christ, we have yet to fully enter into our redemption. We have not yet fully entered into the age to come where righteousness rules. And therefore, we must fight the good fight of faithfulness. Be that as it may, our baptism symbolizes, it signifies our participation with Christ in his death and his resurrection. It is an earnest, if you will, of an ultimate fulfillment. And it is a testimony of our devotion to walk with Christ in life to God. And so this morning, I would ask a question. Those of you here this morning who've been baptized, how's it going? How's it going? How is your devotion to walking faithfully with Christ, to walking with Christ in death to sin and life to God? When you exited the waters of baptism, you were declaring that from this day forward, you would pursue righteousness and holiness of the truth, participating with Christ in his death to sin and his life to God. How's it going? Are you doing well? Are you doing well in not presenting yourself to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness? Are you doing well in presenting yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness? A baptism like we've had this morning is a good opportunity to be reminded of our participation with Christ and to renew our devotion to Christ, a devotion that we bore witness to at our own baptism. And so baptism is symbolic. It doesn't save. Baptism doesn't save. No one is born again. No one is justified before God. No one is made alive to God by being baptized. We are born again by faith. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a symbol. It is a symbol of that faith in Christ, of that identification with Christ and participation with Him. But it is a highly significant symbol. It symbolizes, it signifies our faith in Christ, our placement into Christ, our deliverance from God's judgment, and our participation with Christ in His death to sin and life to God. And so this morning, having been had opportunity to rejoice with Mary and be reminded of the significance of baptism, may the Lord encourage us with these truths. May He encourage us in our own devotion to Christ. And as I said earlier, if you're here this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ and have yet to go through the waters of baptism, then in obedience to Christ, that's a step you need to take. To make a public testimony before this assembly and whoever else would be gathered of your belief in Christ, your identification with Him, your participation with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your mercy to Mary and really in extension to all of us. All of us who are here this morning who are in Christ by faith. We thank You, O God, for Your grace to open the eyes of her heart and bring her to a knowledge of Yourself. And Father, as she has borne testimony to her identification, her faith in Christ, and identification with You, we would pray that You would strengthen her by Your Spirit, that You would empower her, that You would instruct her in the truth, that You would undergird her, uphold her, and direct her, that she might be faithful to Christ, that she might be faithful to her witness of her participation with Christ in His death to sin and His life to You. Grant her the filling of Your Spirit. Grant her the knowledge of Your Word, Your will. To that end, we pray. And what we pray for Mary, we pray for us all of us here this morning who know Christ. I pray, Father, that we would be reminded and renewed in our devotion to Christ, a devotion that we bore witness to at our own baptism. And Father, we would pray for any here this morning who have yet to come to a knowledge of Christ, that in Your mercy and in Your grace, You'd open the eyes of their heart that they may see the truth of Christ and believe, that they too might be the cause of rejoicing in heaven, that they too might be the cause of an occasion such as we have had today. Father, we ask this for their good. We ask it for Your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.